when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. 498 in your hymn books. When we all get to heaven, please stand as we sing 498, when we all get to heaven.
I want to invite you to turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, as we continue on in our series. In now 2 Samuel, we've gone through 1 Samuel. We're just going right on into 2 Samuel. It continues the story. And we're seeing how David is coming to the throne. 2 Samuel chapter 3 tonight. As we get back into this story, this narrative, it's helpful to remember who's who. We have a couple different names that are important, and so it's just important to remember. So let me ask you, who was Ish-bosheth? Okay, who was Ish-bosheth? Ron. Saul's son, correct. Yes, good job. So Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, and he's actually ruling as king over the majority of Israel right now after the death of Saul. And then another character we have is Abner. Abner. Can somebody tell us who Abner was? Abner. Can you identify Abner? Who was Abner? Becky.
He was like an army general for David.
Okay, yes, he was an army general for Saul. He was Saul's general. And so he had served Saul. And Abner, we saw last time, when Saul died, Abner went ahead and kind of pushed Ish-bosheth to go ahead and take over. And so Abner was kind of the one who had the keys to power. And he was, you know, the guy who was really in charge. Ish-bosheth is just kind of a puppet king at this period of time. Okay, then we have Joab. Joab. Who's Joab? Anybody remember who Joab is? Joab. Can you identify Joab? Anybody? Anybody know? Joab. Ron?
Wasn't he the equivalent of Abner on David's side?
Right, exactly. Yes. So Joab is David's general. So David has a small army, and Joab is in charge of that. And Joab is also related to David. He is one of the sons of Zeruiah, if I said that right. And that is David's sister. David's sister had three sons, Joab, Asahel, and Abishai, the sons of Zeruiah. And so those are all key characters there. And so it'll help us if we can keep these guys straight. Ishbosheth, he's the Saul's son, still the king temporarily. Abner, general of Saul's army. Actually, he's also the cousin of Saul, so he is related to Saul. And then Joab, general of David's army. Okay, so last time we saw this power vacuum, and Ishbosheth kind of was forced into that. He's still ruling. Abner was doing that, did it in rebellion to God. You know, God's plan was for David to come to the throne, and we saw the process of that. So we'll pick it up here in chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So David is gradually growing stronger and stronger. Remember, he's not fully in charge of all Israel yet. He's just ruling over one tribe. What is that? The one tribe David is ruling over? Judah, right. I hear in the whispers, Judah, that's right. Gradually, yes.
Judah,
there we go. We got it. Thank you. So gradually, David is coming to power. And progressively, God had his purposes in doing that, I'm sure. Growing David's faith and patience. And then we also see that he grows stronger and stronger as he's ruling there at Hebron, verses 2 through 5. He has children. We read about six sons that are born to David here. We've got Amnon and Kileab and Absalom, Adonijah, Shephatiah, Ithream. And so David is having children, six sons. And so he's growing stronger in that way. His quiver is getting fuller. The sad part of that was six different wives. And that's not a good sign. In fact, that's direct disobedience, because in Deuteronomy 17, God said about kings, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And so that's directly contrary to what God wanted. And unfortunately, he's not done. He's going to be having more wives as we continue, and more children. That's not how God intended it to be, of course. When God established marriage in Genesis chapter 2, it was one man and one woman. And this is a deviation from that. Now, this was also the way things were done for kings in that day. They had many wives, many concubines. But we're going to find here that there will be consequences for this. One of these sons, Absalom, you probably know that Absalom is going to lead a rebellion. And there will be other consequences that David's children causes some trouble for him. So then we come to verse 6 here, and we are going to learn about Abner and something Abner does. He actually changes sides. Remember, he is serving the house of Saul. He was Saul's general. He had put Ishbosheth into power, but now we see that changes. So let's look at verse 6. It came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, Whose is the land? Saying also, Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee, to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Bahurim. And then said Abner unto him, Go return. And he returned. So Abner and Ishbosheth part ways, verses 6 through 11. Abner ends up accusing, or Ishbosheth ends up accusing Abner of using Rizpah, one of Saul's concubines. And Abner doesn't deny it, but it does lead to a separation from Abner and Ishbosheth. And Abner decides, okay, I'm going to help David come to power. After all, this is the Lord's will anyway. He indicates that he recognizes that the Lord hath sworn to David, in verse 9. He knows what God's will is. And now he decides he's going to go over and help David. And it's this argument that brings that about. He should have been on David's side from the very start if he knew that in the first place. But it's this fight that leads to a separation, and Abner decides to go and talk to David. So verses 12 through 16, we see he goes and he makes a deal with David. He invites him to make a league, an agreement. And David says, well, I'd like my wife, Michal, back. You remember Michal? She was Saul's daughter. Back there in 1 Samuel 18, we saw how that he purchased her, and he loved her. But he wants her back. Saul had let her go to another man, and he wanted to get her back. And so they agree to that, and they let Michal come back. And then we see that Abner begins to negotiate for David. Let's look at verse 17. And Abner had communication with elders of Israel, saying, Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. So Abner begins to go and encourage the people that he has connections with to go ahead and transfer their loyalty to David. And that's reported back to David in Hebron. Perhaps David is impressed that he would do that. It's one thing to say you're going to support somebody. It's another thing to support somebody with other people and, encourage them to serve that person. And so David sees this is going on, and Abner is promising to consolidate all of Israel under David's rule. So what can we learn here? I want to stop here at this point and just point out two lessons for us. And the first is that God can use the sins and troubles of people for His purposes. God can use the sins and troubles of people for His purposes. Here we see this fight that takes place between Abner and Ishbosheth. They are on the same team, on the same side. Now they have this falling out. Don't really know the truth of everything that happened there, but it was something that it seems God allowed to happen to bring the whole country together under David. And God allowed that quarrel, that fight, was something that happened, and God used it for good. And the same is true today. Something like that can happen in our family or in our situation, wherever it is, maybe a quarrel, maybe something else. But it could be something like that that actually leads somebody else to the gospel. You know, it could be some sin that takes place. Maybe we're not even aware of it, but it's actually what begins to drive somebody towards God and towards following God. And God, in His providence and His sovereignty, is able to use that. And then, second lesson I want to point out here is just that people can change. People can change because God can change people. God can change people. And I think what we see here with Abner is God changing him. He had served Saul. He was intent on serving Saul's son, trying to force the situation there. And now he begins to change. And he is now deciding he's going to serve David. He is going to help David out. And, you know, he changed. I think God is changing him here. He was once an enemy to David, but now he becomes helpful to him. And he sees that this was God's plan. David could have rejected that, but he was willing to accept the help and to live at peace with him. And so we need to remember that. You know, it's easy. It would have been easy for David to hold a grudge against Abner, to think about, you know, remember what he did. You know, he tried to force Ishbosheth to be king. Then there was a battle. They fought one another. But David was willing to, yes, take a chance with Abner, to see that he could be helpful. And so we need to remember that people can change. God can change people. And then the last part of this chapter here deals, unfortunately, with the death of Abner. Joab has some suspicions about Abner. Verse 22. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he hath sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest, Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there, under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. So Joab is upset that Abner has been meeting with David. And we have to remember from last week that Joab is the brother of Asahel. And in that brief civil war, remember what happened? Abner was being pursued by Asahel. He was really fast, and he warned him and ended up killing him with the back end, the butt of his spear. And that was Joab's brother. So there's that's going on there as well. And Joab believes Abner is deceiving David, And so Joab sends for Abner to meet with him, and then he murders him. And the text makes it clear that he did that for the blood of Asahel, his brother, in verse 27. Now, there's several problems, I think, with what Abner did there. At this period of time, the house of David and the house of Saul were not in an active war. Abner had killed Asahel, remember Joab's brother, but that was in an open war. That was after a warning. Joab killed Abner in a treacherous way. He pretended that he wanted to talk to him. Hey, come, let's have a meeting. And then he kills him. And this was something that was a problem to David, too. Remember, Abner at this point was now serving David. Abner was being helpful to David. And now David has more trouble on his hands because Joab has killed Abner. He just took out one who was trying to help David. And so another lesson that we need to learn here is to be careful of letting your anger control you. Be careful of letting your anger control you. What Joab did was take matters into his own hands. He wanted revenge. And hopefully we wouldn't take our anger to that point of killing somebody, but the Bible does tell us that that's where it starts. It starts with anger in the heart. And we have to be careful. We got to be careful of letting that anger just take over and cause us to do what we wouldn't do in our right mind. And that's what was happening here with Joab. So be careful of letting your anger control you. Now we see this this funeral that takes place for Abner. Let's look at verse 28. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, So God do to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. The king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. So we see David honors Abner here. He washes his hands of the guilt of Abner's blood, verse 28. It was clearly not his desire to kill Abner. David did not want to kill Abner. We see he prays a curse on Joab and his descendants, verses 29 and 30. Should he have done that? You know, if he was the king, perhaps he should have went ahead and prosecuted Joab for murder. He didn't do that. And then we see he honored Abner publicly. He led in mourning for Abner's death. Verses 31 and 32, he follows the bier. He follows the coffin in a procession there. like a president, or obviously he's the king, and leading the nation in mourning for a fallen soldier. That's what David is doing here for Abner. And he pointed out, verse 33, that Abner did not die as a fool or a criminal. He says, died Abner as a fool dieth? In other words, he didn't do anything dumb to be dead. He didn't die because of some crime he committed. He had his life taken from him. And then we see he encouraged the people to lament as Abner served them in his death. Verses 36 and 37. He says, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? He served his country. He was a general under Saul. Saul had led Israel for many years. I think 40 years. Also Saul did. And Abner led the country for that period of that time. He was a prince and a great man. He didn't call him a saint or a man of God. We don't know about that. But when he died doing the best he had done perhaps his whole life. He died now trying to accomplish the will of God in serving David. And then we see David complains about the sons of Zeruiah. These are his nephews. Verse 39, I am this day weak. Perhaps he felt weak having lost Abner. He lost this man of influence who was helping him. Abner's dead. He's weak now. David feels that way. Perhaps at this point in his reign, he felt that this was an issue he couldn't deal with. The sons of Zeruiah, he says, they were hard. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, remember those? That's Joab, that's one of them. And Abishai, Asahel. These are hard. They're too hard for him. And perhaps he felt that he just couldn't deal with them. And so he turns him over to God. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. A few more lessons here as we come to the end of this chapter. We see the death of Abner. Again, we need to recognize how easily we can have our lives taken away. And how easily the lives of others can be taken away. You know, it can be in the midst of doing good. Somebody can have their life taken away in the midst of, you know, the time that they are doing the best of their entire life. You know, maybe they have finally turned their life around. That's kind of how I see Abner here. He was turning his life around. He's on the right path now, and then he's gone. Joab murders him. Death comes so suddenly. We need to recognize how easily that we can have our lives taken away. We need to be prepared to die. We don't know when that moment is going to come. It may come very soon for some of us. None of us knows. We need to be ready to step out into eternity. And as we see how suddenly death can come, it ought to be a reminder for us to make sure that we're ready to die, to make sure that we're ready to meet the Lord. And then we need to honor those who have served. We need to honor those who have served. And I think again about how we do that in this country with Memorial Day. We think about those who have given their lives for the service of our country. You know, are those soldiers all men of God? You know, we don't know necessarily their spiritual state, but we do honor them for what they've done for our country. And I think that's a little bit parallel to what David is doing here, as he honors Abner. Yes, he fought against him, but here was a man who gave his life to serve Israel. And he was now serving David, and so he was leading the people to honor this man who had served. And we need to do that as well. We need to do that in our country. We need to honor those who have served the cause of Christ, who have served the people of God. Of course, Israel is the people of God, was the people of God. They still are. They don't recognize it yet, but we need to honor those who have served the people of God, who have served the church. Maybe there's some who have given a large portion of their life to serve others in some way. And are they perfect? No, they're not perfect. But we still ought to honor them for what they've done. And that's what we see David doing. He didn't write them off. He didn't cancel them. He didn't cancel Saul, the house of Saul. He sought to do what he could to honor them, to make sure the people knew that he respected the house of Saul and Saul's descendants. We see he's going to keep doing that, actually, in chapter 4 as well. But we need to honor those who have served others. And then a final lesson we see here in this chapter is that we need to recognize David's spirit of compassion and forgiveness. We need to have David's spirit of compassion and forgiveness. You know, David could have rejoiced in the death of Abner. He could have said, oh, good, Abner is gone. You know, I never liked him anyway. I always really, really suspected him and wasn't sure if he was really genuine. I'm glad he's gone. No, that wasn't David. He honored him. He could have given Saul's people what they deserved, but he didn't. He did not. And what we see there, and what we're going to see in chapter 4 as well, is David showing mercy. He's showing mercy. He could come down hard on these people from the house of Saul, but he doesn't do that. He's merciful with them. And I don't think it is a coincidence. I don't think it's stretching it too much to see in David what we see in Jesus Christ, what we see in God. We see God showing mercy to people who do not deserve it. That's us. That's sinners. That's what God has done for us. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." This is how God acts towards us. He's merciful. He offers us salvation, even to His enemies, even to sinners who are hostile against Him. God offers mercy. He will forgive them. He has planned for their salvation through Jesus Christ. The rebels, that's what we are, rebels. That's what David had to deal with. And yet we see him showing mercy to these people, not rejoicing in their demise. And we need to see that God has done that towards us. We need to display that towards other people by God's grace. We need to have the spirit of compassion and forgiveness and mercy that David has towards the house of Saul. So we see God working here. We see God changing people. We also see sin and selfishness. We need to see that that's in ourselves as well. That's in our flesh. That's naturally the way that human beings act. We see that. And we need to recognize that. And by God's grace, not allow ourselves to indulge in that. With God's help, we can have a good spirit and do our best to teach that to other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what You show us through the life of David. And we do pray that we would be able to have His compassion, His mercy that we see. We know He wasn't a perfect man, but we know He was a man after Your heart. And we pray that we would have His heart, His attitude, His spirit. Keep us from our flesh, from the ways that we would feel tempted to indulge in that. And we ask for Your help and Your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals now as we close. We'll turn to number 261. Hymn number 261. And we'll stand as we sing, Trust and Obey. Number 261. 261. Let's all stand as we sing. 261.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. His good will He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus